I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, we'll talk about doing Disney World with older kids. That's coming up on this, episode 53 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 53. We have passed the 1 year mark. We are now into our second year of the podcast. And I just learned this week that the podcast just became a member of the top 10% club. And that means that of all the podcasts that exist, this one is a member of the top 10% most downloaded per episode. So, hey, we've come a long way in just a year, and I'm excited to have hit that milestone. So I was a little surprised, actually. There are a lot of podcasts out there, and I had no idea. So that was exciting news. And as always, I want to remind you that you can find me online. Other than the website, you can find me on Twitter, Pinterest, and the Facebook page. I am at WDW Prep School on all of those platforms. I have a lot of fun in all those places, but especially the Facebook page. I recently asked people if they came up with ideas, if they had ideas for fast passing real life. And the reason I asked that is because if you can figure out how to avoid lines at Disney World, the most popular destination in the country, then it sometimes is frustrating to wait in lines in everyday life because you figure there's got to be a strategy for it. And so some of the ideas that were submitted were mentioned on the Facebook conversation were, when you go to Chipotle, you can order the food in the app and you can also pay for it. So when you show up, you can just go right to the counter and skip the line. If you're going to an urgent care center to be treated, some of them allow you to book online or call ahead and then they text you to come in so you don't have to wait in the lobby. You can do TSA pre-check to skip the security lines at the airport. You can do call-ahead seating at Outback Steakhouse. You can also order food in the Five Guys app if you want to order burgers for dinner. And finally, you can text to refill your medication at the pharmacy so you don't have to wait for that either. So I thought some of those ideas were good and a way to fast pass your real life. So today I want to talk about doing Disney World with older kids. And I've been asked this question a lot, and I'm always a little bit confused by it because older kids can do everything at Disney World. They don't have height restrictions. They're usually not afraid of anything. So to me, they're a lot like adults. So I assume when people ask this, it is because they want to avoid the littler rides and because they want to make sure their teenagers aren't bored. My kids are 12 and 19, so they definitely fit into the older kid category now, but they have always just done sort of the general plans that I recommend. They ride the little ride, they ride the big rides, they kind of like doing a little bit of everything, but I think that there are probably some teenager type age children that will not be interested in those things. So I'm going to make some assumptions that when people ask for plans for older kids, that that's what they're trying to get at. As always, I'm going to structure this in my 6-step planning process. I honestly, when I sit down to make notes for these episodes, I actually don't ever go into it thinking I'm going to do the 6-step planning process. It just makes the most sense when I'm trying to organize it and make sense of it. So I'm just going to go with what works. First of all, step one in the planning process is to pick your dates. And so when you are picking dates with older kids, a lot of times you aren't going to want to miss school. Now, some people will take their kids out for school, but for us, the older the kids have gotten, the harder it is for them to miss school. And my son is a star student. He's the smartest kid I've ever met. And so school's not difficult for him, but it's still a pain in the rear to miss and have to make up work from, 7 classes that you've missed in middle school. So strict orders not to ever take him out of school again. And so we always have to plan around school breaks. And so if that is your situation and you're trying to plan around school, then I'm going to suggest a couple of times that might work. If your school district gets out in May, then I would go right when school gets out because most of the crowds won't arrive until June. If your school district doesn't return until late August or early September, I would suggest late August as a good time to go because right around mid-August is when the crowds start to decrease. Another good option is spring break if your spring break falls separate from Easter. So for instance, our spring break is in March and Easter is often in April and they are like 4 or 5 weeks apart. So in March, it's much, much easier, or anytime it's not next to Easter, then spring break is actually a really good time to go. So that's step one, is to pick your date. Step two is to pick where you're going to stay. And I find the Boardwalk area resorts to be great with older kids. And that is because there are several hotels there with stuff to do. So if you, for instance, are at your hotel and you don't want to go out, but the older kids do, they can have freedom to do that. They can also walk to two parks from there, Epcot and Hollywood Studios, which is really nice. And if you're at the beach club or the yacht club, there is Stormalong Bay, which is a great pool area, and they could do that independently. They could do that with you or without you. But anyway, I think there's a lot of just fun options and options for independence if you are staying at a Boardwalk area resort. And just as a reminder, the Boardwalk area includes Beach Club, Yacht Club, Swan, Dolphin, and the Boardwalk Inn. Step three is to make your daily plan about where you're going to be each day. Now, I would suggest doing probably a day at each park. My general plan for families is to do a couple days at Magic Kingdom, a day at the other parks with a rest in the middle. But I think if you have older kids, you might want to, if you have older kids and you're trying to avoid little rides, you could probably get away with one day at Magic Kingdom and one day at the other parks. But you also might want to add a couple days for Universal. If it's thriller rides that you are after, that's a great place to go. They have big coasters. They have lots of, you know, they have the Harry Potter expansion. So now there's a Harry Potter presence in both of the Universal parks. So I might suggest a day at each of the parks plus a couple of days at Universal for your trip. And that will give you plenty of thrillers and definitely, you know, hold their attention and be a lot of fun. That's actually what we did as a family last year, is we spent a week at Disney World, a couple of days at Universal. And that was a hit with everybody in our family. So that's my suggestion for your daily plan. Step four is to pick your dining. Now this, you know, my kids will eat just about anywhere, but I think that there are some different categories of restaurants that may appeal to older kids, and I'm going to define older as teenagers. First of all, characters are not super appealing to most older kids, though they may still be. My daughter, for instance, still loves the princesses, even at almost 20 years old. But if you are wanting to pick one, I think Chef Mickey's is a good all-around choice. You know, it's on the monorail. It's the classic characters. It's a buffet. The food isn't amazing, but somebody can always find something they like. I also like 1900 Park Fair for dinner because it has Cinderella and Prince Charming, but it also has the stepsisters, and they're really ornery. And I think ornery characters are fun for older kids. And so that might be another good option as far as a character meal. Now, in the category of unique foods, I think there's about four restaurants that may appeal. One is Beer Garden, which is in the Germany section of Epcot. And what I like about it is that it's German food, but it's offered on a buffet. So it's a sort of a safe way to try new foods because you can sample lots of things. And if you don't like something, there's probably something else you can find that you do like. And also there is music and dancing there. So it's a fun environment and you are seated with other people. So there's a chance to talk to people if you would like. So I just think Beer Garden is a great place to go for German food. Another option under the unique food category would be Marrakesh, which is also at Epcot in the Morocco section. And again, that's a way to try a unique food, and they have a belly dancer, and it's a fun environment. I would recommend Marrakesh. Third is also at Epcot, and that is Teppan Edo, which is a hibachi-style Japanese food, which is fun. I think hibachi is fun and kind of entertaining for everybody, sort of, because the cooking process is sort of a show in itself. And then finally, I would suggest Boma, which is at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and it is a buffet of African foods. It is one of my favorite restaurants in all of Disney World, and it's a great way to try food, and everything that we tried there was delicious. So, you know, there's lots of good things to choose from. Animal Kingdom Lodge is kind of out of the way for a lot of people, but if going there happens to fit into your schedule, I think it is a good choice. Now, I have also another category of restaurants here that I called ornery or fun. Now, these are restaurants that are either just fun atmospheres or they have staff that will sort of mess with you and have a lot of fun with you. One is Whispering Canyon Cafe, and that's at Wilderness Lodge, and that's good, you know, sort of down home food, but they do joke around with you. And if you ask for things, they will often react in a hilarious way. And older kids probably would enjoy that. Another is 50s Primetime Cafe, where they shout at you and tell you to eat all your food, but it's like good home cooking, like meatloaf and, you know, things like that, which appeal to the whole family. And I think kids could get a kick out of that no matter what their age is. But I think older kids especially can appreciate the humor. Another is Sci-Fi Dine-In at Hollywood Studios, which is just kind of a cool environment because you get to sit in seats that look like cars and they're facing a screen that's playing old sci-fi movies. And it's just kind of a nice environment to be in because it's a unique place. And just a little confession that after you've been together for days and you kind of start to wear on each other's nerves, the seats at Sci-Fi Dine-In are kind of a nice break to not have to talk to each other for a few minutes because you all face the screen as opposed to facing each other. And so I secretly love that opportunity to have a little bit of quiet time. Another fun restaurant is Ohana, which is at the Polynesian, and it's just food that everyone tends to love, and it's a fun environment and a good place. And if you want to watch the fireworks from there or something like that, then that's a good after dinner option as well. My final category of dining is upscale. Now, you know, depending on your children, you may want to take them somewhere a little bit nicer. And so I have two restaurant recommendations that are more upscale, but not so pretentious that they would be intimidating to a teen. And the first one is Artist Point, which is at Wilderness Lodge. And that the Wilderness Lodge is Pacific Northwest theming, and that's what the food here is. So there's a lot of things like salmon that are on the menu. And it's not, you know, like the Pacific Northwest, there's nothing pretentious about it. And so the food here is good, but it's not a fancy place to be. It's just a really good place. And another place is Jiko, which is at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And it is also upscale, really good, but really accessible. And I don't think anyone would feel intimidated to be there. So that's my dining recommendations. And we're on to step five, which is park touring. So as you are trying to figure out your touring plans, when I have the touring plans that I have created that are on the site are usually in two categories. One is general touring plans and the other is touring plans for families with little ones. And I think that when you have older kids, you can mostly follow the general touring plans. However, if you are trying to eliminate the little rides, then I would just suggest that at Magic Kingdom, you might want to skip some of the rides in Fantasyland. It sort of pains me to say that because I think so many of them are so good, even though they are clearly geared towards little ones. You know, they're very family friendly. I still think they're charming. So, for instance, at Enchanted Tales with Belle, which is sort of a show, it's not, you know, it's not a ride. It's a show where you go in and watch, and they're really great animatronics, and Belle appears and all that. We don't have little kids that would be chosen to participate in that show, but we like watching everybody else with their little kids because it's cute to see the interactions. But, you know, so if you miss Fantasyland, you're going to miss things like that. And certainly Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is the newest addition, would be another option there. But I would say if you're going to go one day at Magic Kingdom, there are a lot of things you could cut out in Fantasyland and just focus on the other parts of the park. The final step in the planning process is to add extra magic. And one way is to do in-room celebrations. Now, in-room celebrations are something you can order through Disney Forest, and they come in while you're gone, decorate the room, and leave. And We actually only did this last year for the first time. We didn't do this when our kids were little. And they got a kick out of it because they were a little surprised. They thought they had seen everything at Disney World, and they were, it was just a pleasant little moment for them to walk in and see all these things that have been left. And you can do these in lots of different themes. So if you have a pirate lover, you can do a pirate theme. There's princess themes. There's birthday celebrations. There's welcome packs, which is actually what we did. And the welcome pack, they had plush Mickeys and Minnies and picture frames and autograph books and lots of treats. And I found it quite appropriate for my kids, and they still have their plush Mickey and Minnie that they sleep with. Even though they're big kids, they still like those little things sometimes. So anyway, in-room celebrations are one of my favorite ways to add extra magic for all ages. And I do think it works for older kids as well. So a little pricey. It's a couple $100, but you could fake it if you want and maybe create something on your own if the price tag is a little bit beyond your budget. So I hope some of those tips are helpful when you are trying to look at planning a trip with older children. I do have a quick tip of the day, which is about Disney gift cards. Disney gift cards can be used to pay off your room balance at your resort. This is a question I get asked a lot. It's a good question. And so my tip is that you can use them, but in order to use them, you will have to have a credit card on file just like everyone else. But if you would like them to use your Disney gift cards to pay off your balance instead of your credit card, you will want to stop by the front desk maybe daily to pay off the balance with your gift cards. But certainly before you hit $500 in charges, or before your checkout day, the day before your checkout day, because that's when they will run your card automatically, is when you reach a certain threshold, or the day before. So if you go every day, you can just use Disney gift cards to pay off those balances so that the charges never even hit your credit card. You can get Disney gift cards, you know, all over the place, but in order to save a little bit of money on those, I understand that you can buy them at Sam's Club. $150 worth of Disney gift cards is sold for $142.98. They don't charge tax on gift cards or gift certificates. So $142.98 is $142.98 when you check out. You can also go to Target and get Disney gift cards and use your Target Red Card, which gives you 5% back. So you save 5%. And then I know that there are people who buy gift cards at grocery stores where they have fuel points and things like that. So that's another way to get the gift cards. And then once you accumulate them, you can use them at almost anywhere at Disney World, with the exception of the cash only kiosks and things like that. But almost everywhere will accept them, including the hotels, for your room charges. So I hope that that information has been helpful to you. For all the notes on this episode, everything that I have mentioned, you can get the information on the site at www.prepschool.com/episode53. That is the number 53. Until next time, I will see you on the site.